the same attitude. Pray that the hearts of your neighbor and yourself will be open to his word today. Because the Bible says that the entrance of his word gives us light. So pray that the word of God would have instant access to your heart and to the heart of your neighbor this morning. Pray that as the word enters, the other things God wants to enter, his love, his joy, his peace, would enter as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, that's more like it. We've just raised our hands, we've sung songs to the Lord, and there should be some excitement, I hope. Is everyone excited to be here?
Yes.
There's something my good brother says, and my good brother Uncle Azy says. If you want to know who Uncle Azy is, just look to your right. You will see Uncle Azy. Just look to your right, you'll see Uncle Azy. Uncle Azy, could you stand up, please? Let everybody see. Let me embarrass you this morning. Yes, that's Uncle Azy. Please clap for him. There's something Uncle Azy says, and I've caught that as well, that we don't come to church. We actually come together to meet the Lord. So you've not come to church this morning. You are actually the church. You've come to meet with your Father this morning. So I want us to have that. If that has scattered your theology, so be it. You have not come to meet me. You've not come to meet Uncle Azy. You've not come to meet your friends. You've come to meet Jesus this morning. I'd like to say thank you to Pastor for the opportunity to speak this morning. And I would like to say a big thank you as well to my chief supporter, my biggest fan. As I always say, the only woman I married, aka Sissy. If you come from a particular culture, you understand what Sissy means. I'll break it down. Sissy is just a short term for beautiful young lady. That's what it means. Yeah. So just four words, S-I-S-I. So if you want to use that for someone you love, you're given the permission to do that. This morning, we're just continuing something that we've been looking at this month. As a church, we've been looking at something this month. It's called Friendship and Partnership with the Holy Spirit. And our key scripture is taken from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 14. 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 14. And I read, I think everyone knows this scripture because we quote it after services. We use it to pray on our food. It's a very, very popular scripture. But some people don't even know where it is. So if you've never known where this is where it is in the Bible. It's actually from the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And I read, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost in the King James be with you all. Amen. 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 So last week, our brother, Cruise Control, shared with us about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I'll be talking about the love of God. So we started last week with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not heard the message, we've got a website. We post all our messages online. So if you'd like to follow this series, just go to our website. It's called loveassembly.org and just click on sermons and you see all the sermons we preach online. So you can get access to it. So today we're looking at the love of God. Last week we looked at the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw what grace is. It was defined for us. We're told the grace of God does two things. It saves us and it also enables us. Today we're looking at the love of God, which is the foundation for the grace of God. So it's because of the love of God we have the grace of God. And I'll look with everyone at another popular scripture that I believe all of us should know. It's in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. John, chapter 3, verse 16. And he says, very popular, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we saw in the previous scripture we just looked at, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to God? His Son. So God gave his only begotten Son out of love so that we can have the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'll put it this way, simple terms. Grace is the outflow. Love is the foundation. Communion is the source. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Grace is the outflow of God's love coming into our lives. But that love of God comes from a source. What is the source of God's love? Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been" what? The love of God has been what? It has been poured. What do you pour? You pour things, isn't it? Like you pour water into a cup. You pour juice into a cup. So the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by I need some feedback. By
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I don't want anyone to sleep. Just feedback. By the Holy Spirit, who was what?
Given
to us. So hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So God's love is poured out. Oftentimes we hear things like God's love is inexhaustible. God's love is everywhere. God's love is wide. God's love is deep. There's a scripture that says that God's love is wide, it's deep, it's broad, and we cannot even exhaust God's love. And I was going to title this message today as The Love of God. And I was going to be a bit cheeky by adding the real Valentine. Everybody clap for yourselves. You know, my wife and I were just fellowshipping on Friday, I think, or Thursday or Friday. We're just gisting and we're just reading the Word of God together. Because we found out that God's Word is food. We found out that God's Word can be eaten. Does everybody know that God's Word can be eaten? Okay. I don't think people believe me at all. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's go to verse 3, actually. Verse 3 says, "Now when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" Verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" So we realize that God's word is food. So as both of us were eating it together, I just said, wow. We're preaching about the love of God on a weekend when everyone celebrates what? Valentine's Day. And I said, and she was like, wow. God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. And we're talking about the love of God on a weekend where the whole world is celebrating Valentine's Day. But God is the real Valentine. As we found out, God is the real Valentine. Why? Because he says things like, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Can you say that to someone? Can someone say that to you? When you say it, do you even believe yourself when you say it? Nah. But God means what he says, and he says what he means. And we found out many times people say God's love is unconditional. But most times, we can't really say that we've experienced God's love, even though God's love is unconditional. So the question is, why? God's love has been poured out into our hearts. But we don't experience God's love. Sometimes we go through life and we think, I don't think God loves me. Why do we think God does not love us, even though we say God's love is unconditional? So I found out that even though God's love is unconditional, enjoying God's love has terms and conditions. Enjoying God's love has what? Terms and conditions. And last week, we were taught about terms and conditions. The Christian life has terms and it has conditions. God's love is unconditional, but to enjoy God's love, you need to abide by the terms and conditions. So what are the terms and conditions to enjoy God's love? It's unconditional, but to enjoy it, to access it. John 3:16. Again. So we see the terms and we see the conditions. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He said that whosoever or whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's whoever, means it's everyone, but the condition is believe. That's the term. That's the condition. Believe. You see, the word believe, very interesting word. Believe, very interesting word. Could you give us John 3:16 in Amplified, please? Very, very interesting word, the word believe. Amplified. Bible. Believes in, when the Bible says believes in, you know, let me give you good examples of when we use the word believe. I believe in miracles. That's believe. You believe in miracles. I believe in science. I believe in God. Those are terms we hear every day or we even use. Oh, I believe what you said. Oh, I believe you. Yeah, come on, I believe you. I know I believe you, don't I? Yeah. But when we say that, is this what we mean? Trusts in. Clings to. Rely on. So when you say you believe, can you put any of those three phrases into believe? So when you say, I believe in God, for example, do you trust him? Do you cling to him? Do you even rely on him? Let me give you a good example. God says, don't worry about tomorrow, what you will eat. God says, don't worry about tomorrow, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will put on. I mean, how many of us have wardrobes? At least you have once more than one set of clothes in your wardrobe. So why do you worry about what you wear tomorrow? No, just think about it. You've got so many clothes, but you're still worried about what you're going to wear tomorrow. And now, when Jesus was telling people not to worry, that's in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 25 down to 33, if you want to put it up. I realized that back in the days, people only had one set of clothes. Why? Because when Jesus was even telling some people, he said, if you've got two, that means that people that had two were the minority. People that had two sets of clothes back in Jesus' time were actually a minority. He says, give one set to the person who doesn't have. That means that most people just had one set. So when you get home, you'd wash it, you dry it, and it's ready for you tomorrow. You know, if you have only one set, you won't worry about what to wear tomorrow. Because you know what you're going to wear tomorrow. So, do we really believe? Do we really believe when God says, don't worry? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. So that we see how much God cares about us, how much God loves us. He says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. Do you know what it means to cast something? Cast. Cast. Casting the whole of your care, anxieties, worries, concerns, once and for all, on him. For he what? He cares for you. In Matthew 6, he talks about birds. I don't want to be controversial. He talks about birds. Do you see birds going to the office? Do you have any bird that walks in your office? Do birds walk in your office? If you have any, let me know. He says, if God feed birds, birds that someone will shoot down with his clay rifle for fun. If God feeds them, he says, how much more will your heavenly daddy feed you? So don't worry. So the key thing is, why don't we enjoy God's love? Could it be it's because we don't believe what he has said? You know, I was reading this morning. Okay, I want to show us something that God is doing in our midst to show that God loves us as a people. Show of hands, how many people are reading their Bible this year? How many people are reading their Bible this year? Okay. How many people plan to read the whole Bible this year? So there are quite a number of people who are planning to read the whole Bible this year. That's a manifestation of God's love. Why? Take Valentine's as an example. I know we're starting to say a lot of funny things these days. But how many people do you need for Valentine's to work? Minimum. Two. Although we have one these days, but two. Yeah, because people vow themselves now. Two people. Okay. Two people are involved in Valentine's. So, you and God. How many people? Two people. First John 4:7. Love is between more than one person, two people. 1 John 4:7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is, and springs from where? From God. Verse 8. And the last part says, for God is what? God is also love. So love springs from God. And God is also love. And he wants you to have what? A relationship with him. A relationship. That's what Valentine's is all about. Relationships. That is what God cares about. Primarily. Relationships. Relationships. So the key question is, do we really believe what God has said? That he cares about us? He loves us? Yes. I said this morning, I was reading the book of Numbers. Not many of us read Numbers because it's got what? Tree lines, family genealogies. He begat this, begat. But there's some interesting stories in Numbers. Numbers 23. And I saw something about God. God is very, very interesting when he loves someone. God is very, very interested when he loves people. Start from verse 1. Who has ever heard of Balaam? Show of hands. Balaam. Now, Balaam is a guy in the Bible who, in modern day terms, we call a fortune teller. Someone that people go to, say for example, you want to know what your future is like. So you go to Balaam, you pay him a fee, and then he tells you what the future is going to be for you. So that was Balaam. So Balak came. Balak is a king. And he came to Balaam and said, you know what? There's this group of people, they're called the Israelites. They just came around the area recently. And I've heard about them that everywhere they go through, they get to take over that place. And I'm scared of these guys. I think they want to take over my land. So, Balaam, could you help me? Balaam. So, Balak is telling Balaam, could you help me do something to these guys to so that I could defeat them and they wouldn't take over my land? So what happened? Verse 5. And the Lord put a speech in Balaam's mouth and said, return to Balak and thus shall you speak. So this is the guy that is meant to do some magical stuff to the Israelites so that they will lose to Balak. So he goes to God to ask for permission to do the magic on the Israelites. But what happens? God says, I'll put something in your mouth. You know, the Bible does not specify what God put in his mouth until the guy opened his mouth. Now, when he opened his mouth, if you go down, go to where he opened his mouth and he started to talk. Just to show you how much God loves people. So he comes to God like, I want to do this thing to these guys so that they'll have ill luck. Things will go wrong for them so that Balak can win. If there's a battle, he could win the battle. So God says, come, don't worry, I'll put something in your mouth. So God put something in his mouth to go and say to the children of Israel whom he was planning to defeat. So Balaam took up this figurative speech and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, modern-day Syria, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse Jacob for me, and come, violently denounce Israel. Verse 8. How can I curse those God has not cursed?
Or how can I violently denounce those the Lord has not denounced? Next. For from the top of the rocks I see Israel. So he stood somewhere. He could see the people. And from the hills I behold him. Behold, the people of Israel shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned and esteemed among the nations. Verse 10. Who can count the dust, the descendants of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, those who are upright and in right standing with God. And let my last end be like theirs. 11. And Balak said, dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? I told you to curse them. What are you doing? I brought you to curse my enemies, and here you have thoroughly blessed them instead. I paid you a fee to curse them. He actually paid good money because initially Balaam was not even going to go on this expedition, but the guy had to probably double or triple the fee for the guy to come and do the curse. But when he went to receive the power, something was put in his mouth. But there's somewhere I'm going. Which ties up to believing God. Verse 19. I'll just skip. The story is very interesting if you read it. But read it. I could do commentary, but read it. This is where I'm going. God is not a man. God is not a man that he should tell or what? Act a lie. So if God tells you, my son, my daughter, I love you, do you believe? Don't be quick to say yes. Remember, believe. Do you trust in? Do you cling to? Do you rely on? That may be the key reason why we are not experiencing God's love. We treat God like a man. God tells you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But what do? We treat God like a man. You know, there's this picture on the wall of my friend's mom's house. Every time I saw that picture, he always tore me up. The picture just has very simple picture. Desert sands with two sets of footsteps in them. Two sets of footsteps. Like two people walking in the sand. Two sets. And it was a long set of footsteps, like someone had walked through that area. And two sets, but in some places, there was just one set of steps instead of two sets of steps. So the caption says on this picture, a man was talking to Jesus, and that picture was a representation of his life. So his life had come to an end. So he's now having a chat with Jesus, and he was saying, Jesus, while I was on earth, You promised, and you said, you will never leave me nor forsake me. Do you know where that is? Does anybody know where that is? Hebrews 13:5. Just check Hebrews 13:5. Give me New King James or NLT. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Do you have enough? Don't Don't love money. Be satisfied with what God, with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Put King James. So that you see, abandon, fail, leave, forsake. So the guy was asking Jesus, said, Lord, you promised me this. So why did you let me walk alone? I can see some set of steps where I was alone. And do you know what Jesus said to him? He said, son, you see those places where you can see the single set of footsteps? Was not that I left you, but that I carried you. It breaks my heart every time I see that picture. He thought, oh Lord, you left me. At this point, Jesus said, no, those were my footsteps. I carried you. I carried you. I did what? I carried you. That is what love is. So when you feel abandoned, it may be you're in his arms. First John 4:7, as I round up, just to key word I said, do we believe? God is not a man. If God says, I will be with you, he means what he says, and he says what he means. Do you know even on Valentine's Day, if you give the wrong gifts, it could cause a breakup? Just to let you know. So, you want to enjoy God's love? Believe, trust, cling, rely. Verse 8, 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Do you know? Think about this. If you tell someone, I love you, and replace the word love with God. What you're saying is that between you and that person, God is the one who holds you both together. Is that my story? Is that your story? Verse 9. I'm rounding up. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I don't know what you've heard today, but can we bow our heads and let us pray? God loves you. God really, really, really does love you. How did he show it? He gave his best, his only begotten Son, to you. It doesn't even let evil come near you. People that try to say evil about you, it changes their speech. So they start to say nice things about you. That is love. People come to harm you. Someone comes. He pulls out a gun. Or so he thinks. But what does he bring out? A gift. God replaced the gun with a gift. God loves us. So let us pray. Remember I said in Romans 5:5, God's love is poured into our hearts. So, can we open our hearts up for God to pour his love into us? Can we trust him enough to be open, to be vulnerable to God, to say, I want to try and trust you. Would you help me? Last week we talked about grace. You have to receive it to enjoy it. If I give you a gift and you close your arms or you put your arms akimbo, you will not enjoy the gift. Open your heart. Open your arms. Receive. Receive God's love into your heart.